Welcome to Living the Life with Gateway Foursquare Church, a radio show and podcast designed to equip and encourage you to pursue the abundant life that Jesus offers. Broadcasting weekdays on 88.7 Spirit FM in Campbell River and anytime online on our Gateway Foursquare Church YouTube channel. Now let's join our host, Matt Del Blanc, and jump into today's show.
Well, hey, and welcome back to Living the Life here with Gateway Foursquare Church. This is our second day of our new radio program, and we're so excited that you've joined us again. I'm looking forward to another great episode. We're going to continue on in a couple of different things. Our Bible teaching series on the abundance of life in Jesus. We're going to continue our interview chatting about mental health in the life of the believer. I know it's going to be super beneficial for you today. And so once again, as we begin, want to encourage you, we'd love to be in touch. Let's make this a two-way conversation. You can reach out to us at gatewayfoursquare.ca or even give us a call at the church, 250-287-8133. Awesome. Let's get into today's show. I'm so glad you're here. Let's open up our hearts and believe that God has a word to speak to you today. When I was a kid, we had a McDonald's restaurant down the street from our house. And every now and then, if we were lucky, my parents would give us a choice: chocolate, vanilla, or twist. That's it. Three choices, three ice cream flavors. I think they have now even eliminated that down to just one. But man, when I was a kid, it was a big decision. Which one would we go with? As I got a little bit older, my two older sisters ended up getting jobs at Baskin-Robbins. You know, we don't have one here in Camel River. But Baskin-Robbins is known for its 31 ice cream flavors. Talk about options. Talk about choice. And man, in case you're wondering, I'd go for mint chocolate chip. But today, I want to talk about the choices that we're presented with in our lives. And one of those areas of life that we're presented with a number of options in the world these days is, where will we find meaning? Purpose, really, where will we find life? Like, what is this all about anyways? And in a day and age like ours that's so connected, information from all over the world, that we can in a moment be connected to people, ideas, beliefs, practices, and things. Man, it's like Baskin-Robbins on steroids as far as the choices that are presented to us for walking in life. And that's what we're wanting to dig into this week. Yesterday, we began with this idea to John 10:10 that Jesus actually wants us to walk in the abundance of life. And he calls us to choose life. Life over death. What will we choose? And today, I just want to kind of take a moment for us to acknowledge and think about the reality of the world that we live in, where sometimes the choice doesn't seem so binary. Life or death. You know, we're presented with a billion options. But at the end of the day, we can simplify it back to the scriptural thing, life or death, even though the options look so plentiful. You know, I look around all these different ways and ideas and things that people find life in, whether it's a business idea that totally consumes, whether it's some fitness trend or habit, whether it's the pursuit of money, success, power, education, influence, an aesthetic, looks, all of these things. You know, we live in an Instagram world where we see images and pictures of people presenting the best moments of their lives, and we can begin to think, wow, if I could have a life just like them, and think if we just have the right aesthetic, the right things. And again, that's what I'm wanting to for us to think about today, and I want you to challenge you to think about a little bit today. What for you would be life? What in your imagination would be that thing, that practice that would lead you to a place of saying, I'm fulfilled, this is what it's all about? And I think as a world today, we're scrambling for options and wondering why we're not fulfilled. We live in a world where we have so many options, so many things screaming at us. Yet we have so many people that feel isolated, alone, hopeless, confused. What's going on? Why is this the case that in a world with so many choices, we seem to be missing the thing we're all looking for? And John 17, verse 3, it's a powerful verse that Jesus speaking, that he makes it really clear for us, and he defines, he clarifies what really living is. And he says this, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What a revolutionary idea. Eternal life, or I'd like to say really living, the big picture of what this is all about is knowing God and Jesus, whom the Father has sent. Wow, that's a radically different definition. Life isn't the abundance of my possessions. Life isn't success. Life isn't having an Instagram-worthy family where every moment of my day is curated and stylish and all these things. Life isn't whatever else we would want to fill the blank in. It's knowing God. And I want to cause us to pause for a moment today, especially if you're a believer, to consider, do you really believe that? Do you really believe what Jesus presents before you as being the actual recipe for life, actually being the choice that leads to life, and how that totally changes everything else? If I want to experience eternal life, if I want to experience the abundance of life, the pathway to it is a knowledge of God. And not just any knowledge, but really knowing, a relational knowing of God. And he's made that possible through his Son, through salvation, through faith in him. But it doesn't just start, it's not just at the end of that moment of, oh, I'm a Christian, that's all that there is. No, no, no. The continuation of that eternal life is knowing him. And that's really the story of the Bible. That eternal life isn't painted as this picture of just that when we know the Lord, that we will live forever. Yeah, we'll live forever. But how? He will take us to be with himself. The fulfillment of life is in him. That's the big picture. That's the where we find purpose and destiny. And you know what? A lot of the other things in our lives we can receive as gifts from him, and actually could be parts of the ways that we get to know him more. As we receive good gifts from our Father, as we enjoy the life that he's given us, but all in the context of truly knowing him. You know, we live in such a consumer culture where we're always inundated, saturated with images and pictures. And man, marketers are good at their job. They're good at painting a story, writing a narrative. And even as believers, we could begin to lose the plot as we're saturated with those images and the perceptions of choice. When Jesus makes it really clear, the choice to know life, the choice of knowing eternal life is knowing God himself. And so today, I pray that we would all, that I would, that you would take that moment for us just to continue to lay down before the Lord all the other competing things promising life, and that we would once again turn to the Father and say, I want to know you more. And that as we pursue that journey, as we pursue the Lord, we have the hope, the promise of experiencing that eternal life, not just as something for the future, not as just the continuation of the timeline of our lives, but really that's the place where we will truly experience the fullness of the life that's been made available to us. And so let's be real practical. What are we talking about today? Let's identify those things, those competing options, and lay them down before the Lord. Let's call it for what it is. If we're trying to find life in our success, our finances, in our appearances and all these things, we need to lay those down and say, God, I'm not looking for life in that anymore. I'm looking for life in you. And in that, we then take that faith, we take that idea, that belief, and we turn it into action, and we pursue the Lord. This is one of those, again, those encouragements. Let's find him in his word. Let's seek him in prayer. Today, let's once again acknowledge and choose the life that Jesus has come to give us. What a good God he is to make that clear for us today. Clarifying the options, life or death. Let's choose life, and we're going to find that in knowing him more. Each day, we want to take a moment to recommend some great resources or tips for you as you pursue the abundance of life. And today, I want to recommend a movie. I recommend A Hidden Life. It's a 2020 drama, a true story about a German, Franz Jägerstätter. I'm not even sure if I said his name right, but man, his story is powerful as he resisted the Nazis actually during World War II. And I'd love to encourage you to check out that film. It's a bit long, but man, is it beautifully produced, powerfully acted, and a powerful testimony of leading into the relationships we have with our families, and most importantly, leaning in to our walk with the Lord as a source of strength to persevere and stand for righteousness. It was such an encouraging film. Probably not for the kids, but highly recommendable as something that would encourage you. So check it out. Maybe you're looking for a great movie to watch, A Hidden Life. Check it out. Hey, welcome back to our conversation about mental health and the life of the believer. I've got Pastor Tanya Hofer here with me. She's our assisting pastor here at Gateway Foursquare Church, and we are so glad once again to be able to continue this dialogue for the sake of the body, for the sake of those that are struggling, and also for the equipping of the saints to be a part of the solution as we live in a culture that is struggling. And as we talked yesterday about that what was it, 1 in 5, Tanya, in any given year will deal with a mental health problem at some point?
Yeah, that's right.
And so as we kind of alluded to yesterday, we want to keep moving forward in this conversation. We laid down some of the why, have this conversation yesterday, and you can get caught up on that through our website, gatewayfoursquare.ca, or our YouTube channel. You just search Gateway Foursquare Church on YouTube, and you can actually watch a video of this. Maybe you are watching the video, and that's really great too. But today we do want to get back to even some of those definitions of mental health problem, mental health or mental illness, mental health. There's a number of different words that mean obviously different things, but that would help us understand how we can be thinking clearly, understanding, and then that equips us to be a part of the solution. And so maybe as we just begin that, let's take that from that perspective. We threw out the word, the phrase mental illness yesterday, but we didn't take time to define it. What would be a good way to start thinking about what mental illness is as opposed to mental health? And we'll get back to mental health in a second.
Okay. So according to the Mental Health Commission of Canada, mental illness represents the range of behaviors, thoughts, and emotions that can result in some level of distress or impairment in an area such as schoolwork, social and family interactions, and the ability for people to live independently. Mm. So there are many different kinds of mental health problems and illnesses, and they can range from anxiety and depressive disorders, as we talked about yesterday,
yeah,
right through to schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, and those are often associated with more of a formal medical diagnosis.
Okay.
So there are a couple important ways of identifying mental illness as outlined with this definition. So mental illness affects behaviors, thoughts, emotions, and is also formally diagnosed based on the degree of impairment that the person's experiencing. So it's important to include both of these elements in the definition, because not every form of internal distress is a result of a mental illness. And that's why it's good to use the term mental illness only to refer to conditions that meet the criteria for the diagnosis of a mental disorder.
So, which is, that's a very meaty definition. That's super helpful though, but I think it's actually really kind of it's kind of liberating maybe too, or it frames the conversation in a really helpful way that mm-hmm. there are some conditions that people experience
yeah.
that affect their everyday lives in their thoughts and their actions. And mental illness though does particularly refer to things that there's a criteria for mm-hmm. a medical professional to diagnose it mm-hmm. as being a helpful thing to use that phrase specifically and not generally about all mental health.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so again, I think maybe as a part of that conversation that we're coming from the perspective that as we're processing as humans our mental health and struggles we might be facing, you might have already assumed that we're coming from a pro doctor perspective. There is a role for the medical profession, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not. We'll come back to defining mental health more generally in a second, but I think maybe it would be helpful to just quickly refer to that. I know we'll come back to it. That it's all right to go to the doctor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think the doctors play, a very important role, especially in helping people along that path and process of being able to diagnose somebody with a mental health illness or a specific problem. Very helpful.
And maybe also to clarify too, that by equipping ourselves to being a support and to love and to care for people that are struggling with mental illness, maybe also just to put it out there, it's not our job to diagnose them, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. And so coming back to the broader topic, then what's the difference between mental illness and mental health? What is mental health?
Okay, so mental health defines, it's a more of a well-being in which a person understands his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stress of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. So at its most basic, mental health includes a sense of emotional and spiritual well-being and also the ability to cope with normal stresses of life that we all experience.
And so this is something that then that basically all of us are going to can evaluate and think about our mental health.
Yes.
How am I coping with stress? How am I interacting with life? Are there things? So it's a pretty broad definition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the absence of mental illness. So as we were talking about earlier, we mentioned it being more of a continuum. So in other words, like you could be diagnosed with a mental illness and still experience positive mental health. And most experts agree that mental health can't be determined by the presence or absence of a mental illness alone, but it's far more complex than that.
Wow. And so we're really thinking about that I think maybe part of the reason that many of us struggle with how do I interact with mental health, mental illness, is that it is kind of complicated. There is some complexity to this.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers.
Yeah. But as we gain enough level of understanding, we can still run in there and be a support, care, and show love to those that need it. Or also, if we're struggling ourselves, be able to have the words and have the understanding to be able to ask for the help that we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, I guess if we're looking at that, if that's mental health, that I'm having an ability to deal with stress and these sorts of things, I'm engaging in life in a way that would be fulfilling and positive, then what might it look like, or what does it mean to be mentally unhealthy? The opposite of mental health is, what would that look like?
Well, Dr. Corey Keyes, he's an American psychologist and sociologist, and was one of the first researchers to point out that people who did not suffer from a mental illness could still be mentally unhealthy. So he was interested in measuring the frequency of positive mental, emotional, and social experiences with two groups of people. So those that have been diagnosed with a mental illness and those living without one. And he found that mental illness did not necessarily determine the overall presence or absence of positive life experiences. So based on this research with these two groups, a model known as the mental health continuum has been developed, which we learned about in the Sanctuary course. So this model takes into consideration not only the psychological, that's how you say it, and medical conditions, but also the numerous life factors that we all experience, such as absence or presence of self-awareness, coping mechanisms that we have, having positive relationships, meaningful work, and connections to the community.
Yeah. So as we put some of these ideas together, mental illness, mental health, mental unhealth, how do we start putting these things together? What is that telling us about mental health in a broader way?
Well, it tells us that mental illness is just one factor among many when it comes to understanding mental health. And it also tells us that mental health is a constant change in reality in our lives. So as an example, I was going to use you as an example, Matt, but I had pity. So I'm using myself as an example.
Awesome.
So I'm just going to talk briefly about something that happened to me about 10 years ago, just to give an example of this. So things were going along pretty good in my life. I wouldn't say that life was without stress. I was a busy mom raising four teenage girls, was busy with my job, even though that was a bit stressful at the time. But overall, life was flourishing. So one night, someone tried to break into our house. And then to top that off, they also tried the following evening as well. Yeah. So at that point, I hadn't struggled with anxiety, and I didn't have much understanding of people who did.
Yeah.
But after that, that changed for me. So I started to struggle with fear, anxiety, was having trouble sleeping, having problems with my blood pressure, experiencing some panic attacks. So now I needed medication to manage sleep and anxiety over the following months. So you could say I was a bit of a train wreck.
Well, we can ask Pete about that later.
That's right. So according to the mental health continuum, I was now languishing, not flourishing. Mm. So over time, however, I did recover as I moved through this process of dealing with the fear and trauma. And it actually took a few years for me to, you know, fully kind of work through some of that and start flourishing again.
And so like that's a really helpful picture, because it's not talking about, maybe when we think mental health, we can often be prone to think about the extreme cases, mm-hmm. not the more, and again, I'm not ordinary to lessen your experience. That was mm-hmm. a very real experience. Yeah. But I think many of us can say we've had times like that. And that is a part of talking about mental health, so that we can absolutely. All say, man, I've walked with this. I can understand. From the different things that we've gone through, mm-hmm. I maybe can share maybe today or later this week as well. You know, about a year and a half ago or something like that, I was like on the verge of burnout, like the lights mm-hmm. were on the dashboard, and that did have an effect on my mental health, and being able to talk openly about those things was a key part mm-hmm. of recognizing that there's a common experience in that too. This is something we all need to be on top of, aware of, and be equipped to deal with.
And then, you know, from that, so at that time, during that journey, there were some things that kind of helped me through. So I had, you know, my husband who's there. I also had some good friends and family to talk to that, you know, were able to provide emotional, practical, some prayer support. I was also seeing my doctor and a naturopath at the time. So all those people helped contribute to my recovery.
Yeah. And I think this is maybe, we'll come back to some more details of this later in the week, but a part of that theological perspective that we are complex beings that God has made. The scriptures talk about we're made in the image of God. The scriptures talk about that we have a mind, we have a spirit, we mm-hmm. have a body, we have these components, and sometimes it's just recognizing that that even in the things that you took of social support and different health and practical advice, even of a doctor too, that all of these pieces came together to then create the environment where flourishing returned, that life quality came back too.
Yeah. Absolutely. But there could have been some things, you know, it could have gone, you know, another way where I could have started drinking to numb the pain, or perhaps, you know, the stress of daily lives, if I didn't have this support, maybe would have been too much. And what was initially just a temporary mental health crisis could have got pushed into something that was more my new normal.
Yeah. And maybe that key emphasis for today, talking about that, the significance of social support, mm-hmm. you have that awesome dynamic of family and these sorts of things.
Yeah.
But maybe speak to those that are listening or watching today that maybe they know people in their lives that they sense they might be struggling with some level of mental unwellness. What are some thoughts maybe about the importance of being that social support for somebody?
Okay, sure. So it's critical when it comes to dealing with stress, and the reduction of stress can have an impact on a person's recovery.
Yeah.
So some studies even suggest that faith communities are particularly effective in preventing mental health problems and also promoting recovery. So these studies have found that in addition to providing social support, these communities help individuals with coping techniques rooted in spiritual practices, give people a sense of comfort, hope, meaning in the midst of crisis. Mm. So people experiencing community support, especially faith support, are more likely to move from that place of languishing to flourishing over time.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing as we wrap up today, and we'll continue again tomorrow, is we talk about living the life, living in the abundance of life that Jesus mm-hmm. has made available to us, and how amazing that us offering social connection, prayer, faith, relationship, real relationship with people is a tool in God's hand to even to use to bring people to living that sort of life. Mm-hmm. Something so simple like that, but really, if we continue to think about mental health in that broader sense, that that it's not just the extremes, but it's something we all walk through. That even in our relationships, we're offering in love and in connecting with one another, that we're being part of the answer mm-hmm. for somebody else, and in them coming through seasons and then continuing to stay healthy in their mental health as well.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. This is so good. We will continue our discussion again tomorrow. And so join us, however you join us today, join us again tomorrow as we keep talking about mental health and the life of the believer.
Hey, thanks for joining us as we've come to the end of today's episode. But we want to make it a habit that each day as we wrap up, we want to speak a blessing over you to set you on the course for your day. And so I want to speak a blessing right out of Scripture, Ephesians 1:17. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Lord, I pray that each listener watching or listening today, God, that you would give them that wisdom and revelation. Lord, would you increase our ability to know you, to see you, perceive you? God, I thank you that you are alive, active in our lives today. And I pray for each listener that they would encounter you, your wisdom, and the revelation of you even today. I bless them in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us today on Living the Life. If you are looking for a church home, we would love for you to join us at Gateway. In-person services are held Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., including kids' ministry. Our live stream service begins at 9 a.m. on YouTube and on demand afterwards on YouTube and Facebook. To discover more, share a prayer request, ask a question, or to support us financially, visit our website, www.gatewayfoursquare.ca.